Welcome to Drunk on Comics Special Edition Star Wars Spoilers and Reviews. Yes, we saw Star Wars opening night, but we wanted to give it a little bit of time for our listeners to actually go see it themselves before giving our take on the movie. If you haven't seen it yet, stop listening to this right now. This is your big spoiler warning. Go see the movie before listening to this because we do get in depth with a few key plot points that happen. We also want to mention that our nerd knowledge on Star Wars is not as complete as some others, so we may have made some mistakes going into the EU, but really this is our thoughts, our take on what we thought this new Star Wars was, which, say right now, it was amazing. I'm joined by Matt and Linz, and hopefully you guys enjoy this episode of Drunk on Comics Special Edition Star Wars Review. Welcome to Drunk on Comics, this special edition, which is full of spoilers talking about the new Star Wars movie. There are a lot of podcasts out there already who have tried to either stay away from it, like our normal podcast, which we didn't mention Star Wars at all except for the opening day numbers. This one, though, however, is going to be different, where we are only talking about Star Wars, and you can find some other great ones and synopsis by other people who actually have a lot more knowledge than us. We're just the normal everyday fan guys, fangirls, who know a bit of Star Wars, but there are people who have, like, this is their Bible, this is their Mecca, this is their everything.
Well, they're called Jediists. it's a recognized religion now.
It's true. You can buy the Way of the Jedi in book form.
Yes. And what
I think it's a little less expensive than joining Scientology.
Oh, but yeah.
But probably more fulfilling.
Right. One of them in particular that I'd tell people to go see or listen to is An Elegant Weapon, located at anelegantweapon.ca, because he's Canadian. The Jedi Ross, Jay, is there to flick and bick your, or whatever he always says.
Flick your bick.
Yeah, flick your bick and pick your mind. And really, he had a really great podcast of his thoughts right after Star Wars, which I'm going to kind of do a little bit, some things differently. He had a lot of the same plot ideas that we all did, but we kind of are just going to go into this kind of saying, what the fuck? What happened in those 30 years? What's going on? Chewie had a baby?
What?
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm confused now. What movie are you
watching?
No, there was a lot of shit that...
That's where Ewoks came
from. Everyone's social media feeds were like, do not, you know, spoil Star Wars. And it's still going on. There's so many people are saying do not spoil. I think the world gets it. Don't spoil Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah, there's dicks out there.
That will do it. I did see actually one
dicks.
Person that I
Well, we did say, you know, spoilers before here. So when I tell you Han Solo is dead, I'm not being a dick. I'm just telling, you know, we said that was going
to
happen.
Way to take one of the climaxes and just throw it right now.
I love stealing climaxes away from people.
That's a dude thing.
Anyways, what I was going to say is Jay made an elegant point on his podcast of what he thought things were going with in this movie, where they're going to go. I just have some other things that I want to more into.
Well, when I've been talking to people, one of the things that I keep bringing up is reminding them, I think this is a great opening act, that this isn't just, it's not a standalone movie like A New Hope was. That's the only Star Wars movie that really is like, oh, that's a movie all by itself. All the other ones are purposely meant to lead into each other, and they're supposed to advance the story so far. I also tell people that is very cyclical, and we all know that because when we saw it, we're like, oh, I've seen you blow things up by flying a plane inside it before.
Right.
Not surprised.
And almost everything in this movie was A New Hope. It was, droid has, you know,
secret
special,
plans.
Special, like, you know, yeah. Plans that needs to get to someone who
they're on Tatooine. I mean, Jakku.
That's the biggest one. I'm like, that is not fucking a different desert planet that looks just like Tatooine.
I'm thinking with all that technology in their universe and stuff, how are there like these scavengers that are like, we got nothing?
Like, I feel like if there's just there, that's what they do there. They're scavengers. Like, everybody's scavengers.
Why aren't there stuff? But why didn't they build, like, a city around a fallen Star Destroyer and scavenge the crap out of it?
Where,
like,
are the moisture farmers?
Yeah. So, I think the, you know, the cyclicalness of it is fine by me because it is moving it on a new direction. And the introduction of new people, which I love the fact that your two leads are a strong female character and a black guy.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing about this movie is it was there to renew people's love of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It was to give them a new hope. And I think it did that.
And awaken the Force inside.
The Force, yes.
And I'd read an article leading up to it about how well it shows that the Star Wars universe is strong is the fact that in their advertising for this movie, they show a little bit of Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Right.
Like, most of the previews and stuff, there's just very little of these new characters. And in fact, when you see the film, about the only character with a strong part is Han Solo, which is very understandable since it's his last
movie. Right.
So the fact that you're still getting people excited to go see a Star Wars movie, even though you don't have your main characters, was an important milestone for them to reach. To be like, look, you want to see Star Wars, not Han, Luke, and Leia.
Right.
And so I think that that's really... And Vader. I mean, Vader
was... Yeah, but I think a lot of people did want to see Han, Luke, and Leia.
They did, but...
In which case, we got to see Luke. Okay, thank you, JJ. You were fine on that one. Yeah.
That was,
seriously,
to be honest, that was the part of the movie I just did not enjoy, was that end where they're having the epic stare down. It was just like the circular panning shot of Luke.
Yeah, but I want to know,
Ray just staring at each other.
Whose grave was he at?
What?
Whose grave was
he at? Grave?
Yeah.
I thought he was at like the temple room.
Yeah, but didn't you see a little headstone sticking out of the...
Oh. No.
I thought there was a little headstone sticking out of, like, a very old Celtic, we buried you with rocks style grave there.
Maybe it was his wife that he took that you don't know of.
Because Rey's his daughter?
Yeah.
Family issues here.
No, before we get to go into the family issues, which really is that, I also want to say when we were going past, like, the hut and everything with the perfectly stoned, I was like, he made that with the Force. He telekinesed this, like, all these stones to make it look awesome.
Yep.
But, no, let's go into family, because family matters for sure in this.
It's the main storyline, essentially.
Well, that's what the whole Star Wars has always been, following this main family.
Yeah,
and even
I guess.
Going into the expanded universe, the EU, where they follow kind of Leia and Han's
children. Which in the expanded universe, they have twins and then another son.
Right.
And now in this one, they just had the one kid, apparently.
Right.
And that one kid being the bad guy.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
He is Kylo Ren. Kind of saw that coming, but also...
Well, that was one of the more interesting characters from the expanded universe, was that this family member turned dark Jedi. In fact, that was Jay from An Elegant Weapon once at a Facebook thing, like, hey, send me your name, I'll send you a Star Wars character to look up. And that's who told me to look up, and I'm like, this guy's badass!
Yeah.
That's so cool! I love that he was good, and then he turned evil and stuff. And so, I think when Abrams said, like, you know, we're not throwing out the entire expanded universe, but we have to pick and choose what we want to advance our story.
Well, they
want to
also make some people be surprised when they see it.
Right.
If they do exactly what happened in those books, you're going to know and spoil the whole thing.
Well, they were really smart by turning canon into legends.
Yes.
So then they can pick and choose what legends are real, and then they can even make it like, yes, this is a legend, but here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
So it was really smart on their part, if they're going to erase an entire
And so this was, I mean, for me, knowing that Han Solo was going to die, I was like...
I didn't know he was going to die.
Yes, you
but
did.
We heard it.
First off, he walked out onto a platform with no guardrails.
Yes.
Not only is that an OSHA violation, but that is like screaming, someone's falling.
Yes. I mean, Star Wars movies.
Yeah. Because everything has empty craters.
There's no fucking nets anywhere.
The Death Star is
safety
one giant.
Violations.
The Death Star is one giant pit to fall into.
So it doesn't matter where you're at on the
you're always going to the
fall.
Center.
Yes.
Yeah. So
then, if there's nothing in the center, like for physics, you would
fall
going
back
up
forward,
that.
Yeah.
And eventually, just
Well, and so the fact that that Ren kills him, I kind of predicted that, but that also makes advances our villain to be worse than Darth Vader. And they bring up the fact that he's afraid that he won't be able to live up to Darth Vader's
legacy. A big thing, too.
And so you have to get him to kill
him. Because Darth Vader came back to the light side.
Yeah.
And Darth Vader was the one that he got tempted by these evil, you know, rebellions. And, you know, he then gave in to the good side when he should have just been dark. Yeah, this guy killing his own dad, he's probably the worst of the worst.
Right. Yep.
And also because he was Han Solo, everyone's mad at him. But to be fair, you probably weren't going to get Harrison Ford to come back for another movie ever.
No.
So
they had to work hard to get him on this one.
You know why he got frozen in carbonite? Wasn't because of some grand scheme by George Lucas, because he knew how all the stories were going to go. Quite literally, Harrison Ford did not want to come back for a third Star Wars movie. And so they had to come up with a way to literally freeze his character so he could either come back or not come back.
All right.
And so, like, Han Solo's always been the, like, everyone loves him, but he's like, I don't really like doing Star Wars.
Kind of like a real, like, dick. Like.
Yeah, kind of like his character, but, yeah. So he was really fun. I like the villain. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else were we going to talk about?
Well, there's
so much.
Yeah, I was going to say, whatnot, we can go into to Rey, and honestly, okay.
She's a badass. I love Rey.
Well, yeah, she is beautiful. She reminded me of Keira Knightley a bit.
She looked like Natalie Portman to me.
Okay.
Like a younger Natalie Portman.
Well, since near Keira Knightley and Natalie Portman were basically clones in in episode one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We can see the family resemblance then.
Right.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people think that she's going to be Luke's daughter.
I really believe
that's
going to be the case.
Well, if we're talking about things being cyclical, is that the correct word?
Yeah, cyclical.
Yes. Yeah.
I just can't say it as well as you. Would it not, you know, be that in the second of the new trilogy, someone would say, I am your father?
Right.
Would it not then be ironic that Luke would be the one saying that to her?
Yeah.
We do know she got dropped off on the desert planet. Oh, who also got dropped off on a desert planet? Luke.
Yeah, but he also had somebody watching over him, and they seemed to be like, hey, you'll be fine on your
own. She had someone watching over. She was holding some, like, alien's paw's hand, which...
When she got dropped off?
Yeah, because she was trying to go back, and someone was like, no, you're coming with me.
My guess is maybe...
Well, she did have a helmet, though. Remember she had a rebellion helmet?
Oh, yeah, she had a rebel pilot helmet.
Well, yeah, but that could have came from the
what if she's Wedge's daughter? Because Wedge was, like, the coolest of the pilots from the non-force-using pilots of
That's the thing, though. She has such strong force powers, and it came so naturally that...
She has really strong... I mean... Just out of nowhere.
Yeah.
She just figured out she could use the Force.
I've had somebody, they said that was one of the parts that they were really disappointed with, is that all of a sudden the Force awakens in her. Timeline. And she's able to beat off this guy who's trained a lot. I mean, he's not a master yet because they keep talking about finishing his training.
Right.
Which is kind of cool to be like, your bad guy isn't yet at his peak powers. But he's able to, like, stop a blaster bolt
in
midair.
Yeah. That was cool.
That was really cool. And then, like, as soon as he stops concentrating on it, that's when it moved. I was like, damn, this guy is not to be trifled with. And then at the end, like, he used his force powers on her once to knock her away, and then he didn't. But yeah.
That's so much with her. Let's talk about the droids.
Okay, BB is totally engineered like Betamax to be adorable and cute, and you can't help but... He's like a puppy. You can't help but love...
Yeah.
BB-88. And I'm sorry, I love him too.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I just love the way when C-3PO comes out of nowhere.
To ruin that moment.
You might not recognize me because I have a red arm. Like, hey, I want to know where the fuck you got the red arm and that's what he thought he had to do to interrupt to just say, here I am.
I used to hate C-3PO or C-3PO.
C-3PPO.
And I hated the fact that he was built by Anakin, and then Anakin somehow forgot about this. But as I've rewatched them as an adult, that character's grown on me so much.
Yeah.
Like, I really... Anthony Daniels just plays it so well, to the hilt, so super consistent with his neediness and talkingness.
He's definitely the straight acting character. Like, yep. I said this on the last podcast. Mm-hmm. Which you may or may not have listened to because we got it up late this week. But he's definitely the straight man to R2-D2's...
Vulgar.
Vulgarness,
Beeping out every word
you
say.
Badassery, you know.
That's one thing, too, that I do love, like, that people can, in this world, can understand beeps and boops. Like,
there's very few subtitles for alien speech. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there was only, like, really the one on the cargo hold ship.
Because you needed... Because it had plot development points, yeah, that you needed.
Everything else, you kind of get the...
General feeling, yeah.
Yeah, feeling from the verbalness of everyone else. But, like, that's what I love about Star Wars, too, is that you don't need to know what the hell's actually being said by the robots, but, you can imagine.
But they're all like the Dutch. They speak, like, six languages or seven languages. Like, every alien, yeah, I can understand you.
Yeah.
Of course I can. I got this TARDIS back here. It translates everything for me. Perfectly, perfectly believable.
Yeah.
No, maybe she's the son of the Doctor. Moffat never resolved that.
I love the interaction between BB and R2-D2.
Yes.
For sure. It was like the puppies and the master.
Mm-hmm. let's talk about lightsabers.
Yes! Okay, so when they first showed his crazy lightsaber with the Kuyans, because those are what you call the little protective guards that go out on a sword.
Those aren't protective.
Is that a Star Wars-made word?
No, that's a historical term.
That is stage by stage combat.
Okay.
So when they first made them, not only did Stephen Colbert completely defend why those wouldn't just get chopped off, so thank you, Stephen Colbert, good friend of the show, but also I was like, you know, that would actually make a little bit of sense, because whenever they do that, like, force clash where they're like, they hit their lightsabers together and then they do a Korokoro, which is when you come body to body and I'm just trying to overpower you with my force, right? And like Luke's eyes like turn up and he's like, I've got the force, I'm stronger than you. So whenever they do that, like, essential, you have to have in every lightsaber fight move, you're like, I can stab you with the Kuyans because it's a little laser blade. And does this happen in the movie?
Yes.
Justified. Somebody owes me a drink. I don't know who I made that bet with, but...
I still don't feel that that is the like, I mean, yes, it does seem like plausible, but, like, how often does he ever think he's going to be battling other people with lightsabers to have that? Like, it... There's got to be something else besides
it. Looks
that.
Cool.
Maybe he can remove them and use them as, like, shanks.
Ooh.
That would actually be better. If he can get, like, two lightsabers out of it. Or three.
Or if you can do just the sides. And, you know, do close combat.
here's something that I liked about his lightsaber, though. But if you notice what, like, his blade of red energy is... It's jagged. It looks kind of like fire shooting out and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when she uses the original Anakin Skywalker, and then the one that Luke had and stuff, which, how the hell did it get there, should be something that's explained eventually. But it was just a nice...
Well, yeah, that's
it was a nice...
The little big glass girl goes, yeah. That's a story for another day.
Okay. Yeah, it's like, damn you, J.J. Abrams! But the... But how, like, pure light that was. One, it really showed the two sides of the Force very well.
Right.
But I thought it was a really nice artistic choice to
Well, and I feel it showed, like, Kylo Ren put his together and nobody showed him out. And he was just like, eh,
yeah,
that looks badass.
Because the Fuhrer, I mean Supreme Leader Snoke, where the hell was he? Where the hell has he been hiding out?
No, first when they showed him and he was this giant...
I was a little scared that he was giant.
I thought he was a giant too. I was like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And then he's just a hologram.
And then it's
damn
like,
damn it.
But seriously, who the fuck is that guy? Like,
he has a big scar on his head, so clearly somebody punched him a long time ago.
Yeah, like, where... Obviously, there's 30 years...
Wonder if he's Grand Admiral Tarkin, and he survived the blast of the first Death Star.
And then became adept at... Using the Force?
He absorbed the residual midichlorians from all the people who died there. By the way, also, new theory. Do you know how come every time they're on a ship in outer space, why they're able to stand on a platform? Like, there's no zero gravity and stuff? Or why their ships fly in outer space like they fly in people and stuff? Because the Force holds everything together. There is no zero gravity in the Star Wars universe because the Force holds everything together.
Okay.
All right, that's my new theory.
All right.
So I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
That was one of your worst
theories. That was pretty...
kind of killed the movie there.
Because, you know, their force isn't really strong right now, so...
No, but the Supreme Leader, where did he come from? Who is he? How did he get to know the Force? Because
it's in the mystery box, man.
As Kylo Ren is... don't use that, because then you can just say that for fucking everything. It's
J.J. Abrams. Everything's in the mystery box until he reveals
it's
it.
That's true.
I want to know, though, like, you know, how he is better to train Kylo Ren, and how he's like, yes, master, I'll come at once. I'll be there. Where then there's a secondary dickhead guy, ginger dude.
General Hux.
Yes.
Yes.
the ginger Nazi.
Yeah.
Who seemed... Yeah,
master of the Aryan race.
That is what the First Order is. Yeah. It's not... That should be called the Third Order.
Well, yeah.
And...
Well, that's a... Okay, first off, Death Star Killer. Fucking Star awesome. Killer? Star Killer, yeah. Whatever, Star Killer. That's really cooler than Death Star, to tell you the truth.
Star Killer. Well, and I love the fact that it actually...
stars.
Well, yeah, that you actually show where the energy source is coming from. Right. That was really neat.
So, as far as, like, making a secondary Death Star... Okay, it was cool. It was badass. And
but can we stop with the giant blowing up weapons?
That has a way to where you can...
Yeah, TARDIS coming.
What the fuck is that?
It's the TARDIS.
Or it's my phone not up. Being... Zordon doesn't contact me. The doctor does, okay?
So what I wanted to say was, why do they always have some place where you can blow up the entire fucking thing?
Well,
like, I understand they do need to have exhaust ports, and this one they actually did make it more... so
it was very well solidified. They blew it up. They had to blow it up from the inside first, and then they had to have an X-Wing go in there and blow it up. I love that they were, like, doing bombing runs.
Yes.
To try and break it, and they weren't doing enough damage to it. They built it strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was American made.
It's the whole nuclear bomb theory. If you are going to be the most powerful force anywhere, you have to have the biggest, baddest weapon. And what's more terrifying than a weapon that can just fucking blow up planets like five at a time?
Yeah, and the fact that there is no republic anymore,
right?
Like, yeah, or the government has now been like this. The next one is going to be like an age of anarchy.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool too. That there wasn't really a republic. There was just the rebels throughout the Star Wars movies. Now that it shows that there actually has been now a new form of government, kind of, because they're now blown up. Yeah. At least some of those planets in that star system were, because it showed like five planets blowing up.
Yeah.
Is Tatooine one of them? Is Naboo one of them?
Who knows? I think those were all like the Imperial, or the New Republic planets. Like, they find a cluster of planets and they're all right next to each other.
But there was a lot of people on, if you remember the original trilogies, or not the 1, 2, and 3... There were a lot of different-looking alien races on the Senate.
Yeah.
So there's got to be plenty of planets that are, like, inhabited by human-like people and aliens.
Mm-hmm.
How many of them fall within the First Order? How many of them fall...
Probably none of them, because one of the things that Palpatine had done was, like, he made it... You can only be a human and be... Or humanoid.
Right.
You know, our definition of human. And be a stormtrooper. And so the Empire, if you notice, was completely composed of human creatures. And they probably went in and genocide a lot of other alien races that they just didn't like.
Okay.
And so the First like Order Nazis. Being like the more Nazi one version of that, it's going to be very pure humans.
But that's where I'm saying, though, is this one faction from the Empire, and are there other ones that are also trying to gain power?
That would be interesting. Is there other splinter cells? Of
right.
The,
yeah. And yeah. Like, this that is would the be, extreme.
Yeah, this is one of the extreme. There's probably some other ones that still want to live up to that legacy. But I want to know about if they're ever going to get...
all I can say this about the Empire is, in Anakin's time, there was slavery on Tatooine. After the Empire, no slavery on Tatooine, so...
My biggest thing from the EU that I want them to explore, and I understand you can't throw it in the first movie, is the Yuuzhan Vong. You know who they are, right? Kind of know people?
You know...
They're kind of like the Borg-like empire that comes through that you then later find out within the books. The reason why Palpatine built the Death Stars in the first place was to save the Empire from this invading alien race.
Yeah,
right.
I only know this kind of from hearing stories and legends from people. So, like I said, I know Jay would know a lot better about this, and there's probably other Star Wars fans that I've just pissed off by probably getting some of that wrong. But I do know that in... many of the stories that happened afterwards, these were big bad guys. It wasn't going back into the Empire redoing and rebuilding their same thing, which kind of happens too. But there's also a lot of things with clones and Palpatine coming out again and all that.
The Dark Emperor,
which, cool. I mean, all that stuff would be sweet. I just really want to know what happened in the 30 years. Seeing Kylo Ren destroy all those other Force users, meaning there are Force users out there still. Except for now, it only seems like there's the two.
There's two again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think Finn needs to become a Jedi. I think Finn needs to become a Jedi.
You can't just become. You just gotta have. You have to have the
Force.
That's
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I think Finn needs to be high in the Force. That's the reason why he was able to kind of break free of his mind control.
There's a theory that he's Lando Calrissian's son.
Oh, I love this theory.
I didn't think of that at all.
I mean, he is taken from his parents at a very young age, yeah. So he doesn't know who is, and who's the only other black guy in Star Wars movies.
So that has to be the lineage.
Well, then, you know, bigger characters.
Yes, I was going to say, and Lando wasn't in this last movie.
And there was a toy that was released of Finn that said Finn Calrissian on it.
What?
They don't know if this was just an error.
Okay.
Or if this was, like, foreshadowing that the toy company wasn't supposed to
release.
That'd be fine by me.
The toy company, though, he got his name from Poe, who gave it to him.
Yeah.
So it's not his real biological name, Finn. It was F17N.
Right.
So then just say, oh, and my last name is Calrissian.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Well, like, it would be interesting if in the next movie they have a funeral for Han, Lando shows up.
Yeah.
And then somebody can say, I'm your father, and it doesn't have to be Luke.
Ooh, I like that. And my final thought, because we got to wrap this up here. My final thought is that there was a missed opportunity for Leia to say, or for Han to say, I love you to Leia, and Leia to say, I know.
Yes. I
know. Yeah, that was sad to see that they kind of broken up or whatever, but, I mean... Yeah, she's doing her thing. He's doing his thing.
Yeah, they made it mutual, so.
Overall, such a great movie. We could talk about this forever.
Funny. Definitely funny.
Oh, there were some parts in there.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm part of the resistance. I'm resistance.
it was definitely a movie worth seeing. Yes. So since you've listened to this, you've already seen it.
Hopefully, yes.
And if you haven't, we're sorry for spoiling it.
No, we're not, because we warned you.
Yeah, but Matt did the big spoil right away with saying Han's dead.
Well, you know, this will get posted with a giant spoiler alert warning on it.
Yeah.
So.
I'll say spoiler 50 times, but.
Yeah.
Spoiler. Like a Nissan.
Spoiler.
We're going to Tokyo Drift this one.
Can't wait till the next one, but till then, stay thirsty for the Force.